prominent statement. It says, our operational sublease with the county makes it clear that city approval is required for either significant renovation or construction of any new facilities on the site. Some county might consider that a threat.
What, how's that?
That you won't approve, unless you like what they say, you won't approve it.
Of course not. Ominous could be your term. Facts.
Yes.
Facts. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can editorialize ominous. I would say factual, but no, actually, if that leaves out the vast majority of the letter that says no, I think this needs to be done collaboratively. I think that should be our focus, and keep our eyes on the prize.
So Rick Outson yesterday in the press conference with Mayor D.C. Reeves calling the line of the letter ominous. That says, oh, hey, by the way, we actually own the Bay Center property. But then the rest of it is all about how we need to collaborate, work together, and this is a shared project. It impacts our whole community, Escambia County and the city. So it's kind of a funny little dust-up where Rick's trying to make drama out of this. You know, it's ominous, and D.C.'s like, well, or factual, plus the rest of the letter for context. Joining us now, of course, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I think I almost said welcome back to the circus. Whatever. Anyway.
Depends on the week. Yeah.
So, obviously, you sent out this survey. You got almost 2,000 responses, which is pretty impressive for a city of 55,000. I don't think the results were particularly surprising, but can we just maybe talk briefly? What did the results say, and then what do you see as the path going forward, especially because – look, the city does have an interest in what happens on that property since, you know, the city is the actual landowner.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much to summarize, it was a distant first place for a convention center, a distant second place for a clear second place for a sports facility, and then a distant third for the ice rink, really in every way you slice it in the survey data. But the point I was trying to make and what Rick was asking about in the press conference was, the presumption that the over-reliance on this survey, as if this was going to be the determining factor. If that was the case, we wouldn't need to hire anybody. We could just go put out a survey and then say, well, whoever wins, wins. That's not what – this was one piece, one factor for two reasons. Number one, the experts want to hear from the residents and the users of this area. I think the most important factor is we said we would ask the community what they want. So, yeah. And so this is just one piece of an entire analysis. And again, you have 130 pages worth. You can, any citizen or user of the Bay Center can read away. Certainly got plenty to read today, with that out, in public. So it's an important factor. It's not the only one. But I guess my takeaway was that that's probably how I would have predicted them being ranked, but I was actually kind of surprised by how starkly, how clear, I guess, how much clarity around that order for our community. And if you get into the survey data, there's more questions about why do you pick this one? Why would you be concerned about this one? So it's pretty interesting to read as you get into it, but very, very clear 1, 2, 3 from the citizens and the users.
And obviously, if you say you're going to ask, you should follow through. Even if you didn't say you're going to ask, you should ask. But I like your approach of saying, hey, we take this into consideration, just like we do charrettes around every major project, and we listen because that's what you're supposed to do. And if the people come back with, well, what we want in the Hollis T. Williams Storm Project is we want a Ferris wheel, and you say, well, that's sweet, but we're not doing it. Right. So you don't have to do what the people say, but you do want to listen to them, and I appreciate that. The going forward part, there to me is, I mean, there's obviously a lot of dimensions to this problem. One is the renovations to the Bay Center itself, and then, as you said, the priorities in the what else do people want. But in conjunction with that, you've got, say, $75 million of funding. How do you make that work for a project that's going to be, you know, 150 to 200 all told? You've got the hotel build with the uncertainty of the Grand Hotel, and you've got parking, which is the biggest, in my mind, unsettled question yet. So how do you get from where we are to an end result 5 years from now where the project is done and funded and running and operational?
Yeah, lots of work. And, I really think step one, of course, there's a meeting on a joint meeting on April 16th. Our experts will present to our CRA board that funded the study on April 6th. So we'll have a couple of presentations from our experts in those 10 days. It will not be figured out on April 16th, certainly. However, what what it looks like is pretty customary in a situation like this, a renovation of an existing center and then the possible addition of new facilities, is that the end of the road, so to speak, or where I guess the destination is an all-encompassing RFP that would include design, construction, management, everything. And ultimately, communities like ours have said, okay, in the RFP, it would say, okay, we've got $75 million or whatever that number is. That's a county decision and MedTax decision.
Right.
We've got X million dollars, and this is what we want. You know, so, okay, private market, tell us what that looks like. Is that a ground lease? Is that, okay, well, part of lowering the of private investment dollars going in to, say, build a convention center is the because they get to build a hotel on site or retail, things like that. So there's lots of different ways. I don't know that the government is going to be in the position based on lack of experience. I don't think any of the 13 of us, county commissioners, council members, or certainly can speak for myself, have ever put together an arena project like this. And so I think, you know, us trying to stay in the lane of certainly knowing what we know and being the elected officials in this community to try to do what the community, you know, what is best for the community, but also, you know, kind of having eyes open and ears open about the mechanisms of which to get there. And if those become palatable to these elected officials that represent the constituents, then we've got some success. So that, you know, it's lots to go. And again, I think you can't get to an RFP until you decide what facilities you want, right?
Right, right.
You can't get to an RFP until you decide if you want a hotel or where you want parking. So there's lots of decisions between now and then, but to try to answer that big question this early, I would say probably the destination is going to be some all-encompassing RFP at some point that goes to the field and says, this is how much money we have and this is what we want. Tell us what that looks like.
Okay, so there are companies or entities out there who do this kind of thing. Let's decide what we want. Let's figure out the money. Let's come to some kind of a collaborative arrangement with all of the different political players involved in all this decision-making. And then let's go out and see if anybody's willing to come do what we want for the money we're available and all the other parameters. That makes sense to me. I mean, it's a big end state, but that seems like a sensible approach to me. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. It's brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Switching gears a little bit. The airport. A lot of the nation is getting these warnings of traffic times, delays, screening, TSA, all the whole bundle. It sucks, but apparently it doesn't suck here. How are we doing?
Yeah, all in all, knock on wood, everything seems to be rolling smoothly. We do have a really great TSA team. It feels like 10 years ago, which in my world is very much a good thing, that we had all those problems in the spring, maybe of 24, if I'm memory serves, a couple years ago. And certainly leaned on our friend Rick Scott, who really jumped at getting all of this solved for us. And, you know, it makes us feel good. You know, we certainly cannot declare victory, but it makes us feel good when I see people posting and concerns, you know, on social media about, well, what about the lines at TSA? And citizens are like, no, they've been fine. They've been fine. Well, that's quite a departure, no pun intended, from 2 years ago when it was the assumption was that it must be long. So, you know, it takes time to kind of rebuild that consistency. But we so far, and that's why we don't declare victory. Things can change, especially in this type of environment where you don't know what's going to happen. But thank goodness we've got a great TSA group here ever really since then. They've been awesome and on top of everything. And certainly a great team with Matt out there. So you should be fine. I urge everybody to follow the normal warnings and give yourself an extra 15 or 20 minutes in this current environment than you normally do. Don't assume no change, but everything's running as smoothly as it can so far, all things considered.
Outstanding. Quickly on the graffiti bridge, just because I don't think we addressed it last week when we broke the news about this. Mm-hmm. They're going to vote on it tomorrow night. The cost is in the $300,000 vicinity. Is that general fund revenue? Is that grant money? Is there some blend? Where's that money coming from?
Yeah, I think it's some blend. I mean, this is money that actually has been kind of set aside, man, now going on a couple of years. So
okay.
I'd have to go back and look. It might be as part of a larger set, obviously, with all that work. Because remember, we're going to do the parking lot that's in disrepair. We're going to do that train trestle walkthrough, everything kind of north of that boat launch.
Right.
I don't remember exactly where that number where that specific 300 is. But mainly because, again, most of that has been earmarked for quite a while.
Okay, and the key is that $300,000 doesn't just buy you a couple of signs and two garage door sensors. It's also the parking lot and the boardwalk and the other things all wrapped up into that project. Okay, that's I'm sure that helps people as well. So that's very good. Gulf Breeze does a thing every year, and I have been challenged to ask you if you'd be considered doing the same thing. Right. They do a thing where the kids from the middle school come in and play the roles of all of the city council and the mayor and all the department heads and the chief of police and all this. And then of course they come back and ratify the decisions afterwards. And they usually do it for light agenda items, but it's a really cool thing. Have you guys ever considered doing that, at Pensacola?
No, but I'd love to, if I can pick which Thursday night council meeting it is, I'll let them do it as many times as they want. I can't speak for the council.
Stack it with all the best items. I love that.
Yeah, there's select Thursdays that if they've got 5 or 6 hours they're happy to be the mayor for that Thursday. But but I love that idea. It's great. I always say, we had a bunch of the Girl Scouts come in and sit in all the chairs in council chambers recently. We have the kids from Garo, Japan that come from our sister city. And they always come on like a Tuesday or Wednesday. And I always pretend that we did the Blue Angel show just for them.
When
they come in from City Hall. That's like my favorite part of the job, is getting away from all of the minutiae and the meetings and everything else and seeing how important city government is and how, and with all of our kids, both locally and kids that are visiting. So I love that idea. Certainly something we'd be happy to do.
Oh, I forgot to mention this on the Graffiti Bridge thing. I do have to give you a little grief because you were kind of halfway celebrating that we were the first one ever in Florida to do this. And now it turns out there's not one, but two other places that do it. So we're third, we're like the St. Augustine, yeah, all this,
I wasn't trying to speak it into existence. It's funny. Every time, I think even when I've told you, I was like, I'm qualified. I'm like, I don't even believe that.
Yeah, you were always cautious about it.
It was
true.
FDOT.
Yeah.
I think FDOT had to go dust off their,
how do we do this,
encyclopedia,
right?
Of, yeah. So anyway, I stand corrected. There is one or two others in the state of Florida, which frankly makes more sense to me than the fact that we would be the only one.
Hey, we don't have time to go into this at all, and I kind of feel bad even for asking, but Charles Baer has raised the question about the Library Board of Governance, whether that should still be doing its job, how much freedom the city has given up to the county. Maybe it's unfair to ask with not much time, but do you feel comfortable with the current arrangement? Do you share the concerns? Do you want to talk about it? You'll do whatever council says. You have a quick kind of thought on that?
Listen, Councilman Baer probably has a different perspective because of his previous time, being around when that was happening.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, maybe I don't know what I don't know. In other words, we've never really had major involvement other than this weird thing that we have to do capital improvements for the buildings, even though we don't operate it. But not really much of an opinion, and certainly his insight would probably be deeper in that sense because he remembers kind of the before and after.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'll look forward to the conversation tomorrow night and subsequently as well, because now with the controversy over the appointment, it's kind of become more in the forefront. We always like to end with the lightning round quick questions. If today is Wednesday and then tomorrow is Thursday, would you call tomorrow next Thursday or this Thursday or Thursday? How would you refer to it?
It depends on who I'm talking to. I think I'd just go with Thursday.
Is next Thursday tomorrow or 8 days from now?
If I need to make sure you're definitely here, I say this Thursday or next Thursday. You're 8 days from now, I say next Thursday.
Okay, gotcha. Inch or two of milk.
Are there different options?
Yeah, well, people differ on this. Some people think that tomorrow is next Thursday because it's the next one, which I think is crazy. That's my son. The last inch or two of milk in the gallon, do you drink that or throw that out and get a new one?
Oh, man. Throw it out. You don't drink enough protein around here anyway. It usually means it's older. So okay. I generally am throwing it out unless we've fired through it.
I gotcha. And then the last one is tell me your best time travel movie, since we're going to be talking about the Final Countdown because the Nimitz is decommissioning. What's your favorite time travel movie?
Oh, I mean, clearly Back to the Future. I didn't know that there's, you know, there's all these these fancy serious ones before, but I mean, if we're talking about classics.
I think you've got to include the Terminator in this conversation, but, you know, and Bill and Ted, I mean, this conversation for another day, a little later on the show. Mayor DC Reeves, always a pleasure. Look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.